Over the past 60 years, the State of Israel has aimed to take control over the largest amount of Arab land while working to ensure that the smallest number of Arabs have remained on it. The primary victims of these Israeli ambitions have been the Palestinian people. Before the State of Israel was established on May 15, 1948, the Zionist military forces that aimed to create the Jewish state managed to forcibly expel over 300,000 Palestinians from their homes and population centers. By the end of the 1948 war, over 750,000 Palestinians were displaced, living as refugees. Together with their descendants and the Palestinians who have been subsequently displaced by Israeli policies and practices, Palestine's refugees and internally displaced people constitute the world's largest and longest-standing refugee issue. This is an interview with two of the leading members of the Palestinian Return Movement in Palestine. Wajih Atallah is the director of the Union of Youth Activity Centers in the Palestinian refugee camps of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. And Mohammed Jaradat is the campaign coordinator of the Badil Center for Palestinian Refugee and Residency Rights. They discuss the development of the right of return movement in Palestine and abroad in the Al-Auda camp set up in Ramallah for the Nakba 60 commemorations. Wajih, a resident of the Qalandia refugee camp, starts off by describing the Auda camp.
Al-Auda camp is one of our activities of National Committee commemoration and Nakba 60s. This camp began on the 8th of May and will last until 17th of May. We have several activities. We have seminars, we have exhibition for the Palestinian folklore tools and photos from the archives, especially from the UNRWA archives, telling the story of the history of the refugees through 6 decades living in diaspora. We have a place also especially for the kids to express themselves in drawings, and we have a media center. We are distributing the posters, the books, and brochure, which is produced especially for the kids and the students in our school. In the evening time, we have meetings with the first witnesses of the Nakba, and we have films, documentary films, and Dabka folklore dance. I'm from a village called Esrin. It is on the west side of Jerusalem, 22 kilometers. The old city on his own expenses. That's why in this camp, the camp of return in Ramallah, we wrote about 531 villages and towns which were uprooted in 1948. You can see them around this camp. Also, this is what give the people the opportunity to read about their villages and towns, or to know more information about these places. To all people in living in camps or outside camps, I feel that always we still thinking that we are living in these places as waiting stations until the implementation of our return to our native villages and towns. Unfortunately, most of the people neglect defending this right because they depend on our unique representative, PLO. In fact, you know, let's say pre-Madrid-Oslo process, the PLO had the program to return the refugees to their homes and properties. But at the same time, it had in its program as a strategic solution in the region as a democratic state for all its people. And for me as a Palestinian activist, this was the main attraction to be a part of the PLO and fight on behalf of the PLO for to achieve its program and its goals. This was basically a shared value or a shared, you know, aim by all the Palestinian people, regardless to their ideological or political affiliations. And it really built a common denominator between the Palestinians as we shared this value. The right of return was the whole Palestinian national program, as the PLO has been based basically since its creation in 1964 on the liberation of man and the land, which means the liberation of the refugees to return to their homes and properties, what means that the land is liberated at the same time. That was the National Palestinian Program enshrined in the Palestine Liberation Organization. What we did before Madrid conference, now I can consider them defending our right of return. We were active in our youth centers, in our local organizations to help our people in general. But now we seriously think that all these actions were quite good for that time. There were at the core of our struggle, which tackle the daily needs of our people. Unfortunately, or fortunately, let's say that the Oslo process has led to the process of shaking the Palestinian national program, which was, in my opinion, rotten, and it needed a shake up at that time. When we heard about politicians in the area talked about Madrid conference, we felt the fear and the upset. We lived this fear and upset because we felt that this kind of conference and meetings will deny or postpone the refugee issue. What we discovered through reading the Declaration of Principles, which is known as Oslo, that the core issue of the Palestinian people, the refugee rights, are not really part of the principled issues. Rather, in a very generous way, told in three or four words, to be postponed for the final negotiation. Well, the moment I saw this sentence, I would say about myself, it really shaken my body and my hair were standing up. As a person, I know very well the Israeli mentality, the Israeli establishment mentality, that there will not be a final status negotiation, and this would what was the main motivation to start working on the ground for the Palestinian refugee question. At the time when they say it's for the final status negotiation, it reminded me at that time very much with the letter, indication letter made by Shamir, then the Prime Minister of Israel, instructing the Israeli negotiators to negotiate with the Palestinians as long as they would, but not to give anything, and they will not give anything. So, in mind this kind of letter, and in mind the mentality of the Israeli establishment, we believed at that time that there will not be a final status negotiation, and right now we are speaking about it after 15 years, almost, or 16 years, that there is no final status negotiations. Rather, it led from one process to the other process, one humiliation to the other humiliation to the Palestinian leadership. I wouldn't say to the Palestinian people, but to the Palestinian leadership, that it led them to, from the Declaration of Principles to the roadmap to Annapolis, which is one compromise after the other, in return or exchange for nothing, for null results. And Israel has been gaining, on the other hand, that it has normalized its relations with different Arab countries, not least to say that it has a peace agreement with Jordan as a result of Oslo process, not least also to say that it has representative offices in Qatar and some Gulf states. While this is benefits, Israel would have never enjoyed without the Palestinian permission. And here, as a Palestinian, I see that we have, or I can understand that we have given the Israel leadership the ability to maneuver and walk under a very ambiguous situation where there is no peace, there is no war, and there is no achievements at the same time. the leading position in all this issue, that Israel can lie and say that there is a peace process. Israel has removed this settlement from this top hill or that top hill, and they are playing a game which is, in my opinion, a stinky game. This is an issue where the Palestinians started to think seriously, at least on the community level, how to reorganize themselves to reinstate the basic and fundamental rights. Postponing the refugee issue and the right of return to the Palestinian refugees meant to us that the leadership and the political movement in the area go to other directions. So we took the initiative and we started to collect our thoughts and to talk to our people that we must hand the candle, let me say, of defending the right of return. That's why we began working on this issue in 1992, exactly by the end of 1991 and 1992. And we succeeded to hold the first conference by the end of 1995 in Al-Farah, following of two conferences in Bethlehem and in Gaza. Immediately in 94 we started to, as a community of activists, and rather it was a small community at that time, by regrouping again, reinstating the fundamental issues of the Palestinians. And as a peasant, I don't believe that any solution comes without digging the root, the roots of the problem. If you are sick, you have to go to a physician where he can check you up and find the causes of your sickness, but not treat the symptoms of the sickness. Oslo has came to, and all the processes later until Annapolis, is to treat the symptoms of the disease in the region, while the main cause is the people's rights here, not Israel's rights. So in fact, the right of return movement started in 94, escalated a bit with difficult conditions because we were perceived by different actors here, ranging between the Palestinian leadership to the Israelis, to the international also, both official and non-official communities, that we are kind of extremists, not letting the wheels of peace drive. And I really remember one of the Israeli chief interrogators in one of the interrogation system centers telling me angrily that we are putting a stick in the wheels of peace. And I told him, come on, you know, we will take off the stick from the wheels and move the peace ahead, give the people their rights. And this is a very, characterizing the whole situation about the beginnings, times of the right of return movement. At the same time, the Palestinian leadership, mainly Yasser Arafat, bless him, at the time, he had thought that we are building an alternative to the PLO, which was not our intention. Rather, we were building an interest group or a pressure group, a lobby that has to work for the benefit of the Palestinian refugee community. The Israelis have made their role to provoke and irritate the Palestinian leadership that we are a group of extremists. And the European and West, communities, they thought we are extremists who doesn't like peace. Mm-hmm. And it's an ironic situation that you have to be in the middle of all of these people who were celebrating, the peace era, but these circumstances didn't, frustrate us as a small or hard group of activists. And we thought, well, what we have to do is to immediately present literature and slogan that would stop the immediate deterioration among the Palestinian community, as frustration has grown at that time among Palestinian community in general and refugees in particular, that we lost everything. So one of the early slogans I think we have presented in 95 is that the right of return is a sacred right, and the refugee issue is the heart core of the Palestinian question. I'm non-religious to say sacred, but when we presented it, we know that such a kind of slogan will make breaks to many people, you know, immediately when they read it. And then we presented another slogan immediately after 3-4 months, that the right of return is possible because we were called impractical people, Eugene people, and the practicality means that we have to accept what's always, you know, presented by the international community and the main players. So we presented that the right of return is possible and practical, mumkin wa waqai. In this way, we tried to develop a kind of set of slogans and programs that gives back the people their hope and the ability to work, and it's not lost, a lost case. And due to the deep injury for the people since 1948, since the Nakba, you know, it was very much tackling to the people's hearts and minds that it returned them. Where we have in December 1995, the first large popular conference, which represented the three categories of the Palestinians inside Palestine, historic Palestine, from 48 Palestinians, Gaza, West Bank, including Jerusalem, gathered in the former military detention center, Al-Far'a prison or hall. And there were 1,500 representatives at that time, where we had felt the power. In fact, you know, it, for me, it was a kind of showing power at the moment in Al-Far'a or near Al-Far'a refugee camp. It was a very important popular conference because for the first time after the 1967 occupation, that conference touched the 15 important issues. We tackle the refugee issue in general, and the most important thing was, and still alive, is all people demanding the implementation, the right of return and restitution. The Bethlehem Conference and Gaza Conference also assured these issues or these points. One of the main recommendations at that time is that we need to learn more about campaigning and to establish professional organizations that are able to follow up the Palestinian refugee movement or the right of return movement. Immediately the next year, in 96, we had three major regional conferences, popular conferences. One were in Ramallah, in Bethlehem, and in Nazareth, were well attended, not less than 800 people in each, and one in Gaza, of course. All of them, we aim to do them at the same day of the Oslo. So we had the three main conferences on the 13th of September, and in Nazareth it was on the 12th of September, 96. In fact, at that time, also the Palestinian leadership tried to engage and intervene, but less harsher than the ones before, and less
problematic than before, but it tried to override the wave of growing movement in the occupied territories in Israel and elsewhere in the world, as we were doing it here in historic Palestine.
Unfortunately, we didn't succeed to organize committees which should implement several programs on this level, because we faced many difficulties, logistics difficulties, and the lack of money also. It's still a problem for us, because we need money to implement such these activities. We need also a specialist or expert in some of the field. We need also media and communication with others. But we succeeded in somehow to reach some point. For instance, when we, together with interior Palestinian organization as Badil and others, to establish or initiate the right of return coalition, we succeeded to make contact with our people and with our with some of the defend the right of return committees in Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, and Europe, and other places.
In Copenhagen, a group of Palestinian activists also collected to establish what we call the Right of Return Committees in Europe, which later developed to the European Confederation for the Right of Return. In the United States, in April 2000, there was a Boston popular conference, I would call, also for Palestinians in North America. There were about 600, 700 people turned into that conference, and luckily, all these conferences between 1995 and 2000 were majorly having the same aim and the same goals, where we could see that Palestinians typically started to think together, even without meeting sometimes together. And this is, if it says something, it says for me that the Palestinians have the same team and they can be all sick from the same source of virus, which is the occupation that have taken all their rights and preventing them from trying to restitute it.
It is not easy to call all these parties, and once they want to work, they want to participate, but they have their own problems, and you know, in the region, always we have news and events and major events. For instance, last year what happened in Gaza on the day of commemoration of Nakba 59. These events didn't encourage our people to go out and express themselves or to talk about even the occasion. In general, all people, they want to work. They want to defend this right of return. But sometimes you find them an excuse, because for so many years they depend on our leadership to work on this initiative, and they have their own problems. Sometimes the method of working is different from last century and these years or these days. Our committee always try to find new ways of expression, new ways to call our people to protest against the occupation and demanding the right of return. But we succeeded to unify the speech of return, the posters, the slogans, not only in occupied territory, but also in diaspora with our colleagues who are working in exile.
I think, you know, the right of return movement has succeeded to launch or relaunch the Palestinian rights, majorly to reinstate it on the local Palestinian agenda, on the Palestinian leadership agenda, on the international agenda, and on the Arab agenda. But this is not enough. It's still premature to say that the right of return movement has succeeded to do all its medium target, you know, or aims. It has a lot in front of it to accomplish. The other, you know, positive thing which I might say that proudly enough, it's not unique for one group of Palestinians, but all the different parties of the Palestinian backgrounds, you know, are working for the right of return. Where in the early 90s, late 90s, I would say that it was a difficult question to talk to the Palestinians in general, not to say, you know, the internationals. Now this is an achievement that all the parties, different parties or ideological backgrounds, secular, religious, and Kurdish people are working for the right of return.
I think the movement is now, it's going okay. It's better than before. And we find them ourselves each year that we have a new number of people working on this issue. Of course, it's not enough. We demand more, but I think the most important thing is to keep the memory of our people, of thinking always about this right. And that's why we are now working with students in school. We do our best to reach these people in their classes, to give them something to read or new information. That's why this year not only we make a brochure, also we make thousands of CDs to give them the opportunity to read this information about their villages and towns.
The next stage, in fact, is not to reinstate the right of return, because the right as a right is being very much built on the heads of the Palestinians from bottom to the up. I think the next stage is to create the culture of return, which to start basically to speak about the return as an actual plan, and to plan how to do it within the heads of the people and to instate it strongly in the heads of the people, because when we will speak about the dream of the return, dreams are beautiful, but reality is difficult, you know. So we have to find a way and a program that works for the practicalities of the right of return, and to get people to be accustomed to it, and to get the culture of the people to move towards it. And as much you can say about initiatives this year on the 60th anniversary of the Nakba, there are initiatives which are calling for the return, actually, which is not bad. This is a result of the last 15 years intervention and heavy work for the right of return. And always, you know, the ideas start from somewhere small and grow. And this is what we have to do in the next era, you know.
I mentioned some of the problems before. We feel that we always very small groups working on this issue. We are looking forward to see these groups bigger and bigger by the time. In this case, I think we will solve other problems, whether this is financial problems or the more experts working with or in this committee to produce or to reach the people, our people, in Palestine and outside, abroad, in exiles, and the other nations, to tell them our stories and our struggle and our suffering, living away from our original land. Because most of the problems, whether economics, economical or social problems, we are facing as refugees are because of our living in exile.
Well, the 60th commemoration year of Nakba, for me it shows that if we as Palestinians do our homework, people will work with us. And as long as we have presented this campaign since 2 years ago, thousands of activities is being conducted all over the world. This is the first time in 60 years Israel is disarmed from its popular dimension in the world. And the Palestinian question and the Nakba issue is becoming an international issue, not only on the popular and non-governmental, you know, part or solidarity, but there are strong significance in the international media where they have taken in consideration, if they are speaking about 60 Israeli celebrations of their voted common independence, they have to speak about the Palestinian Nakba and connect it. This is in fact an achievement, you know, for the first time, the largest campaign ever being presented to commemorate the Nakba 60 or the Nakba in general. I think we should build on it and find ways how to build on these achievements.
The boycott and the divestment and sanctions against occupation, it's one of the stations which empower and explain our demands of return. And I hope that this division or movement can lead us as a signal to the whole world that we Palestinians still suffering and living in bad conditions because of the occupation, and to tell them that the occupation should feel this and take the responsibility of these actions against Palestinians, to stop these actions and to go back to the at least the international law.
I think creative tools for the implementation of the right of return is a must that we have to predict and find, you know, creative tools. One of the tools which has been initiated since 2005 is the Boycott, Divest and Sanction Israel campaign, which is in abbreviation the BDS campaign. In fact, this campaign is a peaceful kind of tool which suits the current situation of the Palestinians, and it's a kind of participatory approach between the local Palestinian or the Palestinians in general and the international solidarity to work together at the same tool and the same time with the same aim. This campaign has been gaining, you know, among Palestinian different players and among the international solidarity, which is, I think, a tool which gives people a way to what to do. As usually we were asked, okay, that's clear for us as solidarity that the question of Palestine is the third question and so on, but what you want us to do? In fact, we answered this question locally and internationally that people can find their way through the boycott or divestment or sanction and to create a movement around this campaign where the boycott dimension of the campaign has so many different ways to work within and to make people feel comfortable, And at the same time, we don't necessarily say that activists should either take all of it or leave all of it. We are happy with any part of it is being taken. If student groups would like to campaign around pressuring their counterpart in Israel students' movement to tell them you are not welcome as long as you are supporting an occupation entity and a racist entity, and they don't want to work on the consumer's boycott, that's fine with me, or the vice versa, or the academicians, you know. At the same time, there are places where divestment is on the peak with them, or suits them, like faith-based groups who really invest in Israel, and it's in contradiction to their ethical pledge, you know, to themselves and to their God, you know, that they have to think about it and to do the divestment, but maybe they don't want to do a boycott part of it, so that's also fine. I just meant by this quick explanation that the BDS campaign gives a variety and, you know, a wide angle of tools within it to all kinds of people and different professions, even to a housekeeper, you know, that he or she can find their way to be in solidarity and do something useful to clean up this racist entity and this racist system.
This report was written and produced by Hazem Jamjoum of the Badil Center for Palestinian Refugee and Residency Rights and Hassan Banoura of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org.